thank you for this time. And again, Father, we come before you and we just ask you to guide us, to teach us, to open our hearts to hear from you. Lord, if that doesn't take place, we are not going to get a lot out of it. So we just ask your spirit would be in our midst, and you say wherever two or more gather, in your name you are there in a special way in the presence. You're present everywhere, but you're there in a special manifestation in that. And we just ask that that would take place here, and that this would be pleasing to you in some way. We ask this in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's kind of a strange transition that we have this. I'd be one of the first to say that, having read over this verse, it just doesn't always jump right out at me and go, oh, there's a powerful verse. But let me read through the whole section. It's going to be Matthew 5, 23 through 26. It says, if therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your offering there before the altar, and go your way. And first be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law, while you are with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge, and the judge then to the officer, and then you be thrown into prison. For truly, I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. Their first words in here are, if, therefore. Now, when you read that in any kind of statement, what is it? What's the first thing that should happen to you? What's the first thought that should be generated? Now, I could go through, and I did, and I read through this whole thing. Yeah, because whenever you have a situation, you think about life, and you come to a crossroad, do you know what those are called when you have crossroads? They have a reference for them, it's like a cliche. It's called an if and then statement. And you do that in programming too. You're programming a computer, and a computer program, you come up with if and thens. If, and it can be multiples. It can be, you know, if this, then this. If this, then this. If this, then this. You know, and it's, so if something, then something else. This says, if therefore. So it refers to, and a lot of people who teach this use the terminology and say, if you see the word therefore, you need to ask yourself, what's it there for? So it's kind of a catch cliche. What did we talk about last week? Serious subject. How about thou shalt not murder? But I say, thou shalt not be angry. So he's talking about murder, anger, attitude of the heart, getting angry with somebody. Now, he refers back to that. In other words, if we're going beyond the act of the outward, let's consider the inward. If, therefore, if it's about the heart and what you feel and think and act, not about what you do. Remember, the Jews at that time, Sadducees and the Pharisees, that he had already told us, your righteousness better be better than theirs. Because they look at what's going on in the outside. Do you know that it was okay with them if you got angry and did a lot of stuff, but you just did murder? Do you know that it was, actually came to a point that it was okay with them if you thought sinful thoughts? Just didn't do the simple act. That's how misconceived they were. As long as it didn't become a reality, it wasn't a sin. That's it. He's going to teach through this whole section Yes, it is. Now, I'm going to tell you that this first paragraph, when I studied it, and sometimes it happens now and then, but it's one of those that really broke my heart. It's one of those that tore at my spirit. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to ask you if you can tell me why you think that might have been. If, therefore, you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, and I'll tell you, it wasn't because of anything anybody would have against me. It had totally to do with how often do I ever, because in another version it says, if you go to worship the Lord, before you do this. There's portions in the New Testament where different people ask Jesus, they go, well, we've heard it said that you're supposed to only worship God in Jerusalem. Others say, well, you're only supposed to do it on the mountain. And he goes, do you remember what his answer was? Worship him right here. Worship God in spirit and truth. Inside of you. How often? This is what convicted me. This is what broke my heart. How often do you go to the... Yeah, this is here's what you're supposed to do if you go before the Lord. And I'm going, he's challenging you. When you go before the Lord to worship, do you go before the Lord to worship? Do you know what worship that word comes from? It's two words. The first one is work. The second one is ship. And then it gets shortened down, we call it worship. That's just like it used to be holy days, and all of a sudden it became holiday. But they were holy days. And now we have just called them holidays. Holiday, the day I don't go to school. It's not a holy day. Worship, oh, that's when I go sing and listen to an entertaining sermon, maybe something that I feel comfortable being there for. God says, no. Do you understand that a worship service is a time for you to say, God, you're worth it. You're worthy. And he says, does it have to be there? What about just any time during the day? What about any situation? I had a situation at work today. And I actually, you know, and I had to confront Tim a little bit, my boss, about we started this week and we had two jobs all week. One on Monday, and one on Wednesday, and that was going to be it. Nothing on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, and nothing else scheduled for me. We've had one of our most profitable weeks we've ever had. And I mean, this morning it just doubled. And Monday I'm going out to spend 2 days on a fire job that we just got today, or last night. I just went down to pull all the equipment off the job today, and the guy said, no, wait. I don't think that we've done enough. I'm going to tear the walls open. I want you to leave the equipment all the way through Monday. And, of course, we charge every day for that. And that's another, like, $2,000 more. You know, and it's just, basically, what happens is we're just starting doing it. But he was so nervous about stuff, and he was going, we don't have any. And, I said, when are you going to be able here to look at this by faith? And not by sight. Because at first the sight looked like it wasn't good, but by faith that opened all these doors. And that's what, you know, we have to look at it and say, where are we seeing God in everything that's going on? God says in Proverbs, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I even taught that using you as an example, if you remember. I said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to figure everything out yourself. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways and He will make your path straight. That means give Him credit. Acknowledge Him. And of course, that part where I thought about trusting the Lord with all of your heart, I had you fall and I caught you and I said, why would you do that? And you said, I trust you. And I said, why would you trust me? And you said, because I know you and I know you'd never let me get hurt if you could help it. And what I said at that point was, how do you trust anybody you don't know? So let's take that back. Jesus says, you don't get into heaven if you don't what me? Know me. See how it just comes full circle. And he goes, but do you know you? Now, you guys haven't sat through it that much, but a lot of times I teach a cross principle. Do you know what that means? Do you know how I bring that into play? Huh? How?
To make the connection with one, you got to make the connection with God or the other way around.
No, but that's exactly right. If your vertical is not right, if your relationship with God is not right, your ability to do a good job with others isn't going to work. We're getting wonderful sermons at church right now on how to be a good husband and how to be a good wife and how to be a good parent. My only problem is I think we need to push a little harder on telling people if you try to do any of those things in the flesh, you are going to fail just like anybody in the world. If you don't plug in the vertical, that horizontal effort will be of no value. It'll be nice, and you'll try, but you'll go back to being who you are pretty quick. You've got to go in the power of the Spirit and the Spirit. And then a little emphasis there, but I think we need to push more. That's just my opinion. But here, he very much in this section is talking about, you better have your vertical right, or your horizontal is going to be wrong. The vertical he's speaking of is before you come and try and have a relationship with me. If you've treated others ungodly, if you've treated others evil, if you've thought evil about others, if you've got stuff going on inside of you about other people, don't come and try and worship me. You know what it says about husbands and wives in the Bible and prayer? Husbands are supposed to be the leaders of the family. They're supposed to be, here's the Godhead, then the husband is supposed to be right below that, being communicate and the leader and having the authority there. The woman is supposed to be right there beside the helpmate. Do you know the helpmate is the same word that they use for the Holy Spirit? She's like the Holy Spirit is working with, you know, Jesus had this position, the Holy Spirit had this position. It wasn't like they were there. It wasn't like one's better, one's better. They were positionally different. Jesus said, I have to go away so the Holy Spirit can come back. Okay? But the point being is, it says scripturally, husbands, don't bother coming and praying to me if you're not treating your wives right. If you're blowing it with your wives, that's the only prayer I better hear. That's the only one you better be talking to me about. Getting that right. Asking forgiveness from her and from me. Get that vertical right. Then we'll go with the horizontal. Don't come and play on the vertical. So they really go together. I mean, sometimes the vertical has to come before the horizontal. He says, I'm telling you right now, don't try and get any more of the vertical until the horizontal is set right. Because you're showing me, here's another good example. You know what the Lord says about how we treat people here on earth? I've heard some people say, well, I can't submit to my husband. I can't love my wife. I can't submit to my boss. God says, right. Well, guess who put them there? I did. And if you can't, and they'll go, I'll submit to God, but I'm not submitting to them. And God says, no, you won't. You really won't. You'll submit to me if everything's going right for you. If everything's the way you want it. But you know what? You'll submit to them if everything's going. How many people have a problem submitting to a boss when everything's going good? They're making as much money as they think they should make. They get McGravy jobs, and they get a bonus anyway. And he doubles their lunchtime, lets them off early. And they're going, I mean, they're not going to sit there and complain and not be submitted. They're down with that. Same thing, you know, school teachers, this or that. Rarely do I hear anybody go, my teacher is such a jerk, and then get an A+ in that class. It's just not. It's usually if they're struggling in that class, that's when that teacher's a jerk. In most cases. I'm not saying sometimes it doesn't happen, but that's the majority. What I'm saying is, God says, you'll be the same way with me. As long as life's going good and as long as things are okay with you, you will submit to me. You'll be okay with that. But if you can't submit to who I put above you here, you can't submit to me. Because I gave them as an example for you to see. He's judging your heart and your inner attitude here in the flesh to see how the verdict is really going. So, if therefore you are presenting your offering, you're there to worship God, your offering is your time, your heart. The offering isn't your money. The offering is you. God, I go back to the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who come, lay themselves down before God and say, I don't have it, you do. I can't do it, you can. And that's what he's saying here. If you're going to come and present yourself to me and worship me, and you realize you've been hateful and spiteful to somebody else, how do you think I'm going to feel about that? Get your heart right before you come and start worshiping. Go, isn't God wonderful? Isn't he good? And you go acting like a Christian, but you treat people like you're a jerk. Okay, what if it doesn't come out? If you're like me, and you guys all know it, because I do it, and I'm one of those people who, it's not good because you can very much tell if I'm disapproving of what's going on by my facial expression. I don't hide it well.
You don't have a very good poker face.
No, I don't. Okay, so consequently, what I'm saying is, you guys usually can read my heart when it's all screwed up, because I wear it all over my face. And I do it way too often. What I'm saying is, that's what he's talking about. Get the inside right. When you hurt people with your words, when you hurt people with your looks, when you hurt people, and that doesn't mean you're ugly. That means when you give them ugly looks. You know. But you don't hurt people, you know, meaningfully by the things that you're doing. And a lot of times, it happens just like what we talked about last week. And I can only speak for me. All of a sudden, I got this look on my face. You know why? Because, by golly, I was wrong. I have a right to look that way. Somebody got in my way. Somebody made me upset. Didn't we just talk last week? You're supposed to give up those rights? You don't have those rights? You're not supposed to. If you have a meek and a if you mourn for your sin, and if you have a meek attitude, you're not supposed to have, I get ticked at you if you wrong me, but I still blow it, and I keep back and take those back to God. So I can only speak to what I blow up at, and I mess up at. But I have no doubt you do too. And people can tick you off, and you can, you know, say bad things about them, and then we turn around and do the other thing, and we go gossip about them, and we, you know. But he says, don't do that. Go get that cleared up. And a lot of times, it's just getting things cleared up with you. I've shared before, I went to one of the teachers that I really, really like is Brian Fenimore. Brian Fenimore was sharing one time about how, and he's very much in the healing ministry, but he's also good about the fact that he says, I don't tell God what to do. If God chooses to heal through me, he does. I don't tell him he's going to heal this person. I pray, say, God, do you choose it? He was having one of those down in Mexico. And he's not as avid as the two of you, and he doesn't know Spanish very well. So he would speak, and an interpreter would tell them what he said. And then they told him, look, you've got so much time to speak to these people, and when this is over, you've got to get out of here and you're going to speak to a pastor's group. So you've got to get this fast. You, when you're done here, you've got to go eat, and then you've got to come back. So he got through, a bunch of people came forward on the, you know, and we prayed over, and he had a group of people who were going to do that, so he did that. Some big bodyguard-looking guy got him, and they headed for the back. And as he's going down the aisle, he hears this clink, 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 clink. And he gets just to the back door, and here comes somebody kind of traveling that, and this little old lady, all crippled over, comes flying up as fast as she can get that thing going, and blocks his path to the door. And starts screaming to him in Spanish. And he looks dumbfounded at her, because he's got no idea what she just said. And he looks at the big guy and he goes, what's she saying? She said, you're not going out this door until I get healed. And he tried to get the guy to aim her up front. But she was having no part of it. She just refused. She said, you're not doing it. She was vehement. So, he started praying with her. And as he started to pray with her, God started revealing some things, and he goes, you have some brothers, don't you? She goes, and her face just contorted. I mean, the anger just filled her. And she goes, yeah, I hate him. She goes, why? And she started revealing how she lost her parents, and she was kind of orphaned. They kind of raised her, and they just treated her terrible. And they tore her down, and they made her feel like nothing. And he said, they crippled you on the inside, didn't they? Yes. And he goes, and now it's on the outside. And he goes, God has just told me, he goes, he won't heal you till you forgive them. This lady came up, used a rocker, went over, and you could see her, and she was just crying, and she finally broke. And with God's help, she forgave them. She came back over, and a little bit longer story, but basically, she did get healed. She went across the room, and she, you know, handed her rocker to him, and he was able to leave. But, anyway, the point was, God revealed to him, I'm not going to work with you on the vertical until you take care of this attitude on the horizontal. Until you forgive, I'm not going to forgive you and heal you and bless you. One of the attitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Show mercy, you'll get mercy. Be forgiving, you'll be forgiven. He goes on and he says, leave your offering there. Leave that heart. Leave whatever you're going to offer up to God there. Go away. Reconcile with your brother. And you know and I know that sometimes you physically can't do that. Sometimes it's with somebody that's dead. How could I have thought that about them? Why did I say that? How could I have treated them that way? Sometimes it's just getting that thing right. Sometimes it's saying and doing the things that are the right things to do, to have the right heart attitude, to have, again, he gave the outline, you know, the attitudes, and one of them he said is, you got to be pure in heart, you got to be a peacemaker. You can't be merciful and pure in heart if you're harboring bitterness towards somebody, dead or alive. And he says, you have to deal with that. You've got to get resolution. You've got to reconcile. And that reconciliation is in your spirit. Now, you need to reconcile in your spirit, then if possible, reconcile in the flesh. If you've wronged somebody. I had somebody in church who had written some nasty grams about me and about my study a number of years ago. And that person, one day we were having communion. And that person stopped, quit taking, would not go up front, made me go to the back with them. And told me that they were sorry and asked me for forgiveness for that. So that they wouldn't take it, you know, then that person could go on and do it. And it was important, and it was the right thing to do. And I appreciate that. And as far as I'm concerned, it never happened. I appreciate that person, and I mean, they're a good friend. I don't have any issues. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law. Point brings in the law. Now, this one is really kind of a strange one, that if you kind of break it down, what it's really more talking about is make friends quickly with the opponent at law while you are with him on the way. Do you know that in another day, in Roman law, they had all the right in the world that if somebody wronged somebody, you could either take them or you could get somebody, and you could take them and you guys could head off and you could say, I'm taking you to court, and they have to go with you. And you guys are going down the road to the courthouse. And you've made an appointment for a court date so that you can meet with the magistrate. You go get this person and you say, I brought charges against you, you need to come with me. You guys start heading off to court. Now, if you two can settle your issue before it gets there, it's not a problem. If you get into the courtroom and it becomes a court case, you can't resolve it. It's out of your hands now. Understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's kind of like bringing charges against somebody, and you can drop them, but the second that the court actually has a prosecutor bring it to court and this, it that now all of a sudden it's the court taking them on, not you. So he says, do this while you're on the way in order that the opponent may not deliver you to the judge, and then the judge to the officer, and then the officer throw you in prison. How did the last one end? The last section from last week had that funny name I gave you. It was about a valley.
Gehenna.
Gehenna. Well, what was unique about that valley?
Always burning.
It was always burning.
That's what I'm
going to say. Okay. And yeah, it basically was representative of hell. And he said, be careful that you might... Notice how it was the same thing? It was about going to court. And it said, I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Sound like a law? And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, or you worthless one, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. But everybody who says you fool, you worthless individual, you are of no value, you are of no worth. That is verbally or emotionally murdering somebody. You don't deserve to live. See how that connotates to murder? You don't deserve to live. It says that person will be guilty enough to be thrown into Gehenna or fiery hell. Go back down here. Be careful. Make peace before you get to court. Lest you... Notice, you're the guilty one. You're not bringing somebody. You're the one being brought. And you will be guilty, thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you pay every last cent. How much do you think you're going to earn while you're in prison? While you're in hell? Think about this from a spiritual standpoint. You better get your life straight with the one who can send you to hell while you're walking through this life, walking with him toward the judge in the judgment seat. And you better have it right before you get there. You better make peace before you get there. And I've already made a way, Jesus says, before you get there. And if you don't, when you get there, you will go to hell. And you'll stay there until you can earn your way out. And how do you think you're ever going to earn your way out of hell? You're not. He's saying you're there forever. It's about your heart. It's about your spiritual welfare while you're on the way, while you're walking in this life. Get it right. You're walking with God toward the judgment seat. You're moving through life. There is a couple of things that are given in life. One, If you're alive, you were born. And the day you were born, you began to do what?
Die.
You're going to die. Some don't make it through the day, the first day. Some didn't die. Some don't get born. Some die in birth. Some die 106 years old. Some die all the way along the way. Not one person in this room knows they have tomorrow. We don't know. But I guarantee you that the Bible is very clear. Reincarnation is not something that takes place. It says it is for man to live once and then die and then face judgment. Along the way, make peace with him who's bringing you. He's bringing everybody. How many people that have ever existed, how many people will bow their knee before Jesus Christ and say, "You are the Christ" at the judgment seat? How many? The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Some just before they go to hell. And I'm sorry to say that the vast majority. Think about when you go before the judgment seat, think about that being a lot like Noah. Noah and his family went into the ark as a minority. You know what that means? A minority?
Isn't that like we're blessed
even anyone else? Mm-hmm. So if you're in the minority, like right now you're in the minority in your class because you believe in creation and the majority believe in evolution. When Noah went into the ark and he and his family were the minority, everybody else said, "You're a fool, you're an idiot." Do you know how he came out?
The majority.
The majority, because there wasn't anybody to say, "You fool," because they were all gone. If you go in right with God, you come out a majority. You plus God is always a majority. You without God is always a minority, no matter how many of you there are. We need to understand that has to be right. That is for forever. How many of you feel like that it seems like just yesterday that you were really little? Maybe I don't, but okay, most of you guys can. But, I mean, for me, it seems like yesterday to me when you guys were little. It seems like yesterday when, you know, it's like I'm in church and I see all these people and they're like teenagers and graduating and stuff, and I'm going, I taught them a long time ago. And it's like, what happened? You know? And it's like, it goes like that. Well, you ever heard that about the terminology being over the hill? Well, part of what they mean by that is once you get over the crest of that hill, it just starts rolling downhill. It's like you're always going, "Oh man, if I could just be 18, if I could just be 21. You know, all the good stuff doesn't happen until you get about 25. 30, there we go, that's the age. Used to be 30 was over the hill until you get 30. Then 40's over the hill. Then you get about 40 and 50's over the hill. You get 50, I guarantee you, you realize you're over the hill. Okay? So, and the reason you realize it is because gravity starts to kick in and everything that used to be in one place starts moving downward. And it's not there where it was anymore. It's moved in. And then the other thing is that life goes by every year. I mean, you swear. You go over and you look at the calendar and you swear they're stealing days. You know, we're February, well, they skipped it last year, didn't they? Because those years go by faster than the one before, and the one before, and the one before. And all of a sudden, you're not looking at what was. You're going, I wonder how many more I have. And because it can't be near as many as I've already had. And you realize you're much closer to the end than you were to the beginning. And the reality of your demise becomes more real. And you realize that you're a lot closer to the court than you were, even if you live to be a ripe old age. But what I'm telling you is none of you even know that tomorrow isn't your day in court. Isn't your day before God. We don't know. But he says, you better have made peace along the way. And you better have your life right. And you can't do it except by going back to that first one and having being poor in spirit, mourning over your sin. He made the way. He paid the cost. You don't have to do anything except see that he did and accept it. But if you really believe he did and you accept it, it isn't like, okay, I got my fire insurance paid up. Now I'm not going to hell. I can live however I want. God says, no, I am preaching on the good news of the gospel, which is the good news. I'm teaching the good news of the kingdom of heaven. But if you're part of the kingdom of heaven, you're not a part of the kingdom of earth. You can't have dual citizenship. You've got to give up your rights in this one to have your rights in the other one. And you notice if you start giving up your rights in this one, that's where you don't get angry at people. Because you don't have any rights in this kingdom, your rights are in the other kingdom. You don't have these. All of a sudden, you see how now the teachings about how loving is like just putting others first and yourself last. In this world, you've got to put yourself first and others last so you can get ahead. You still die, but you'll at least be ahead when you die. God, my toys. They don't go with you. Somebody else gets them when you leave. But, so, you still did a good job getting a bunch of them. And you enjoyed it while you were here. And you're just hoping none of the stuff anybody's telling you about the Bible is true because you don't like that hell thing. And so you're hoping just not believing in it will make it go away. But it doesn't. You're still going to face it. You're still going to go to that trial. And you're still going to either be found innocent or guilty by what you did with Jesus Christ. And and the thing is, and this is something I want to make clear, I'm not offering you a rose garden situation. I'm not saying if your life is really tough, find Jesus and your life will be just wonderful and better today and nothing bad will happen to you ever again. That's not true. Paul said, I count everything this world has to offer as dung. That, if you don't know what that is, that's the stuff that falls on the ground behind the cows when they walk through the field. Dung. Crap. Okay? He says everything this world has to offer is crap. Except knowing Jesus and his death. And the power of his resurrection. What he earned by his death, the power of his resurrection, the fact that he's now alive and living in us, and the weird one, and sharing in his suffering. He doesn't say, I love these two things, the crucifixion and the resurrection, and now the fact that I get all the good stuff. I get a little light in the fast lane, and I get everything good. No. I share in his suffering. If he was worth suffering, and that's what it took to make life better here on this earth for those who didn't see, if that's what it takes to be the salt, if that's what it takes to be the light, let me share in your suffering. Let me be that man too. It's not signing up for a good deal, but it's signing up for the best deal. It's not signing up to take a champagne flight to hell. It's signing up to take a terrible, bumpy, Greyhound bus ride to heaven. The trip isn't much fun, but the destination is awesome. The other one, the trip might be better at times, but the destination is terrible. So, any questions, comments? Do you understand what I was talking about in the section? So basically, it's a reiteration of the attitude that you had to have about not being angry. But it takes it one step deeper and it says, what's going on in your heart? What's going on in your mind? And you need to give those to God and you need to let Him work on them. So Father, we just close tonight. I just thank You for Your Word. Lord, may it not fall on rocky ground and be of no value. May it not get stolen quickly by the weeds that can grow up so fast, the things of this world. May it not be accepted half-heartedly and then the world, when it comes and knocks on your door, takes it away. May it find good soil, and may it grow in each one of us, and may it bring about transformation, may it bring about a new attitude of heart. And we're not going to be perfect at applying it, but would You make us just a little bit better than we were? Would You cause us to draw a little bit closer than we have in the past? Would You give us the ability to see You a little bit clearer and see ourselves a little bit better than we have? Lord, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning.